Psalm 149, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the end of our series on God's Word given to us in the book of Psalms. We have been looking at the Psalter together for the last several weeks. We have seen that the Psalms are not simply a random collection of poems put together, but they do have purpose, they do have focus, they help us in our walk with God. We began this series by looking at Psalms 1 and 2, and I know that the children even now know what Psalms 1 and 2 are about. They tell us what is contained in the Psalter, the way of the righteous and the wicked, and they tell us whom the Psalter is about. It is about God's anointed Jesus Christ. We have seen how the various types of Psalms fit the pattern, the rhythm, the cycle of our lives. They give us hymns of praise to praise God when things are going well. The Psalms give us the Psalms of lament to cry out to God when things are going poorly for us. And the songs of thanksgiving when God once again shines his shining face of providence upon us. How do we thank him for what he has done? We have looked at particular types of Psalms, creation Psalms, penitential Psalms, and Psalms of assurance. We have talked about imprecatory psalms and the psalms of enthronement, about Christ's kingship. And tonight we come to the end of the Psalter, and the Psalter ends with unbounded praise to God. There is movement throughout the book. The initial psalms, many of them, are those psalms of lament. But as the psalmist goes through, we get to the end of the Psalms, and there they are, praise after praise after praise. We haven't looked too much at the book structure of the Psalter, but as you remember, maybe from the first sermon, there are five books, five big collections given to us in the Psalms. And each of those books ends with a doxology. Each of those books ends with words of praise to God. If you look at the end of book 1, which is Psalm 41, the end of book 1 says this: Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. Book 1 of the Psalter ends with a doxology. If you go to the end of book 2, Psalms 42 through 72, at the end of 72, we have a little bit of a longer doxology. where in verse 18 we read, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen." Book 2 ends with this, with words of praise, doxology to God. Book 3 ends in Psalm 89. Psalm 89, a very brief doxology. 89 verse 52, "Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen." Words of praise, words of blessing, doxology to God as Book 3 comes to an end. Book 4 ends in Psalm 106. And Psalm 106 carries that same theme of doxology. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise the Lord." And then at the end of Book 5, at the end of the whole Psalter, it's almost as if the psalmist trips over himself to bring unbounded praise to God. The last five psalms all begin and end, "Praise the Lord." The purpose of the Psalter is to help us to bring praise to God. To praise Him when things are going well. To praise Him in times of difficulty. To praise Him when He takes us through. And the psalmist ends with these five psalms, all bringing unbounded, exuberant praise to God. And I would suggest particularly Psalms 148, 149, and 150 belong together. Because as a package, they tell us who is to praise God, why we are to praise God, that's 149, and 150, how we are to praise God. And so we'll look at these three psalms together tonight for our final doxology from the Psalter. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And if we go back to Psalm 148, we see in Psalm 148 a call to all creation to bring praise to God. Psalm 148 is divided into two big sections. Praise God from the heights, praise God from the heavens, that's the first half. And then verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. So he's going to talk about the heavens bringing praise to God and the earth bringing praise to God. And as we talked about at some point in this series, when the psalmist uses those polar opposites, he means and everything in between. The highest heavens and the deepest depths, everything is to bring praise to God. Psalm 148, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. God calls forth praise from the heavenly beings. His angels, His messengers, His servants, those who do His bidding. He calls the heavenly court to bring praise to Him. For He is the God who is worthy of praise in the heavens. As glorious, as majestic as the angels are, they bow down before God in praise. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. The hosts of heaven itself are called to bring praise to God. Not only the heavenly beings, but also the heavenly bodies. Verse 3, praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens. Praise Him, you waters above the heavens. The sun and the moon and the stars, the glorious luminaries, are called to bring praise to God. It's almost as if the psalmist can anticipate what will happen in pagan religions. In pagan religions, they deify the sun and the moon and the stars. They look at the heavenly bodies as those things which direct the course of their life. They pray to the sun, pray to the moon, pray to the stars. The psalmist says, no, don't bring praise to them. They bring praise to God. And you say, well, how thankful we are that we're past those type of pagan type of religions of praying to sun and moon and stars. Are we so far past that? How many people wouldn't think of beginning their day without turning to the newspaper and reading their horoscope, somehow thinking that the movement of the stars will have impact on their lives? No, not that we pray to these heavenly bodies and bring praise to them, but these heavenly bodies are called to bring praises to God, the sun, the moon, the shining stars, as an apologetic to us. We don't pray to them. They bring praise to God. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. God has established the earth. God has established the heavens. It is firmly in place. He gave a decree. It shall not pass away. God will continue His providential care over creation. And therefore, creation is called to bring praise to Him. Praise in the heights. Praise Him, O heavens. And then verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. And now, children, the psalmist is going to list all the creatures that should be bringing praise to God. He begins with the sea creatures. You great sea creatures and all deeps, the fish and the whales and the dolphins and the porpoises and the octopus and all these sea creatures, these somewhat even mysterious creatures, all of them called to bring praise to God. Later, he will talk about the land creatures, verse 9 and 10. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, all the things we see around us, all the animals that move along the earth, great animals, small animals, all called to bring praise to God. The psalmist marshals all of creation to bring praise to Him. The creatures of the water, the creatures of the land, the creatures in the sky. He even calls the climate, calls the weather to bring praise to God. Hail, fire, snow, mist, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Praise the Lord, all these, what we would call natural forces. These are all called to bring praise to God, for they are under His control. Nothing happens by chance, nothing happens by accident. We spoke about in our catechism class this morning about God's providence. How all things happen according to His will. Even the fire and the hail and the snow and the mist, the stormy winds. God is worthy of praise from all creation. And then the psalmist says, verse 11, kings of the earth, princes and all rulers of the earth. Not only creation itself, but mankind. The kings, the rulers, the princes, all called to bring praise to God. And we say, you know, there's something proper about that. That the kings and the rulers and the princes bringing praise to God. The elite of society called to render to God the praise that is worthy of Him. But it's not only the elite of society called to praise God. Kings of earth and all peoples, young men and maidens together, old men and children, all of us called to bring God our praise. Men and women, older folks, younger folks, children, you are called to bring praise to God. That's why you're here in church tonight. Church is not simply for moms and dads, for the older people. But all of us together are called to bring God our praise, joining our voices, the old voices, the young voices, all called to bring praise to God. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Then the psalmist transitions, verse 14, He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. They praise God because He has raised up a horn. A horn is a symbol of strength and a symbol of deliverance. And that leads us into Psalm 149. Why it is we should praise God? why it is that all heavens and all earth and all of His people are called to bring praise to Him. We praise God because He is the Redeemer of His people, Israel. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. We praise God, for He has redeemed His people, making them His children, Israel His chosen ones. And God has cared for His people, has brought them into relationship to Himself through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Psalms are to be taken on the lips of believers. They are for us to help us to praise God. They are for us to bring Him the glory, the honor, the exaltation that He deserves. For He has acted in our lives to deliver us. He is our Maker. He is our King. Verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. So many times the psalmist says it is fitting, it is proper, it is right to praise God. Because praise is our necessary and obedient response to the work of God. A Christian who doesn't praise is a contradiction in terms. For we are called as God's children, as those whom He has rescued, to bring our praise to Him. He has rescued us from the depths of hell itself. He has taken us from darkness into light through the work of Jesus Christ. How can we remain silent? How can we not open our mouths in unbounded praise to Him? And we reflect upon what He has done for us. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. As we get up in the morning, as we go to bed at night, and every time in between, God's people are called to bring Him praise. God's people are called to bring Him glory. For He is the Redeemer of His people, Israel. Why do we praise? For He has given us life. He has redeemed us from the depths of sin. And the second reason the psalmist gives us, the second half of the psalm, why do we bring God praise? Not only His blessings toward us, redeeming His children. But we praise God because He is the judge of the world. Verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. Now I hope that if you were here for the sermon on imprecatory psalms, these words don't strike you quite as much, perhaps, as they would have before. We remind ourselves, the psalmist here is not calling the people to personal vengeance. He is not calling them to vengeance against their enemies, but that they would take the two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on God's enemies, those who would oppose Him, and to bind those kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron to execute on them the judgment written. We are never called toward personal vengeance, but rather to love our neighbors, to care for our neighbors. But for the enemies of God, we pray and we ask Him to work in such a way that His enemies be put down and destroyed. Perhaps we get a bit of a glimpse at our understanding of this when He speaks about the two-edged sword in their hands. What else is described as that two-edged sword? Well, the Word of God itself is a two-edged sword. as we engage the world around us, as we open the Word of God for those who have never heard it before, that Word is powerful and it is mighty and it executes judgment upon those who would not listen, but for those who will. They are converted to the cause of Christ. God's praise is because of what He has done for us. He's shown Himself to be faithful, righteous, a redeemer of His people. And He's shown Himself to be a just judge. And the psalmist puts these two together in Psalm 149 that we might see in striking relief that if it were not for the grace of God in our lives, we would be the ones under that two-edged sword of judgment. Why do we praise God? This is the honor of all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149. And then the psalmist completes the Psalter in Psalm 150. How are we to praise God? Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. We begin with, where do we praise God? The psalmist says, praise God in His sanctuary. And we certainly are in the sanctuary of God tonight, in the presence of our holy God. We are in the church, and the church is called to praise God. But that is not the limits of God's sanctuary. For God rules over the world, over all creation. There's a particular praise called forth from His people in worship, but in every part of our lives. As we live in the place where God has called His own, we are to bring praise to Him. Not only tonight, but tomorrow, when we go back to work. Tomorrow, when we spend time in our homes. Tomorrow, in our relationships with those around us. Praise God in all places of His dominion. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. We've talked about those. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Psalm 149 talks about that. Praise Him with trumpet sound, with lute and harp, with tambourine and dance, with strings and pipe, with sounding cymbals, with loud clashing cymbals. There have been some in the reading I did who I think have over-exegeted this text. They try to divide all of these instruments into different types of praise. The trumpet is one type of praise, and the lute and harp a different type of praise, and tambourines a different type of praise. I think what the psalmist is saying is simply, with everything, with the whole orchestra, bring praise to God. With every part of your life, in every facet of your life, in everything that you do, in your life at home, with your family, with your spouse, with your children, bring praise to God there. Your life in your education, with your fellow students, with your instructors, your professors, bring praise to God in that part of your life. For those who are off working in their vocations, whether that be in the office, whether that be in the garage, bring praise to God there. Use everything that you have to bring unbounded praise to Him. Not just on Sunday, not just in the assembly of His people, but as God sends us out into the world to bring praise to Him there. To open our mouths to declare His greatness. Within our families, in our circle of influence, to those who perhaps have never heard of the glories of God and what He has done for us. To open our mouths in praise there, declaring His goodness. The psalmist says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The entire Psalter is given to help us to praise God. Praising God at all times and in all places. To bring undying, unrestrained praise. And for the people of God, that is our natural language. That is the words that we must speak. Words of praise to the one who has redeemed us. Words of praise to the one who has saved us. The psalmist tells us nothing new. But he gives us the natural response of the righteous. That is to use everything we have in every part of our life to praise Him. As we continue to, in our personal devotions, in our family devotions, read through the Psalms, as they intersect with our life in times of joy, in times of trial, in times of transition, whatever it might be, may we remember God calls forth praise. Good times, bad times, from adults, from children, inside the church, our life in the world, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Truly, O God, You are worthy of praise. We know that we can become weak and frail in our praise to You. And so You have given us a resource. You have given us Your Word to help us to praise You as we ought. Lord God, may we be good students of the Psalter, knowing all of its beauty, the different types of psalms, the contours of praise. And may we take Your Word on our lips to bring praise and honor and glory to You. Not only as we gather in church, as we gather in Bible study, as we gather for family devotions, but may Your praise be on our lips as we engage the world around us, in our education, in our vocation, in all that You have called us to do. Because You, O God, are worthy of the praises of Your people. You have redeemed us to be Your very own. May it be our natural language to speak praise and honor and glory to You. Lord God, tonight we ask You would accept the praise that we bring. In Jesus' name, amen.